Hello and welcome to React Native Radio. I'm your host, Nader Dabit. Today on our panel, we have Mike Grabowski of CallStack.
Hello, everyone.
Peter Pykarczyk. I think Peter may be having some connection issues. We'll get back to his intro probably later. And our special guest today is Vladimir Novik. Welcome to the show, Vladimir.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Is this your first time on the show or you've been here before?
No, I've been here like several months ago, something like that. We talk about smartphones and all IT stuff.
That's right. Okay, so if you've listened, you've probably heard him. And if you've been actually in the React Native community, you probably know of him. But can you give us a quick intro of who you are for people that don't already know who you are?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an independent consultant and my consult company is on the various stack, mostly React Native, web, or specifically React, IoT, and virtual reality, augmented reality. I usually have a joke, like I probably should add blockchain and AI to be like on top of buzzwords in my job description. But yeah, so that's what I do. I speak at lots of conferences, mostly about, like recently about AR, in general about AR and IoT, because these things really fascinates me. And recently, I'm really into Reason ML, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that too.
Very cool. So you live in Israel, right? Like, who do you work with right now? Like, what does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, so basically, like, I have several clients, mostly US-based, and I mostly work in US time zones. I have my own startup in VR scene, which is, we haven't released our product yet, but in general, I can say we do some cool stuff with location-based VR gaming experiences. And we plan to release on Q1 2019. In addition to that, I have my own consultancy. So my clients vary from consulting for companies that use React Native, or it can be a client that uses that wants to implement some cool IoT features or implement AR on their apps. And basically, I have several clients that I consult at a daily basis. And sometimes when one project ends with one client and switch to another client, and it goes like back and forth. So usually, I have like several clients at the same time. And sometimes I also have workshops, so both remote and both on-site. So I travel to US and Europe for giving workshops on React Native, on GraphQL, and on web in general.
So our topic today is going to be building VR and AR, really mainly, I think, AR apps in React Native. Can you talk about like what the current landscape looks like if someone wants to get into AR app development and they want to use React Native, what it kind of looks like right now? And I guess really this could also be React or React Native.
Yeah, sure. So the thing is with AR, it kind of developed very quickly in recent years. Like AR has a huge history of development during the like last century, and recent years really great developments happened there. So mainly for React Native scene, when ARKit and ARCore came out, these are AR frameworks by Google or Apple. And basically, with React Native, you can use these frameworks for creating cool AR experiences. So at first, it started with wrappers for these frameworks, and at some point, these wrappers got abandoned somehow. Like if you check packages, React Native ARKit or React Native ARCore, they sort of like latest commits were around half a year ago, something like that. But then there was a really cool framework came out. It's called by company Vero Media. And they created their own renderer for AR. And this renderer wraps ARKit and ARCore. And it is updated constantly on, I guess, on a weekly basis or something. It supports like latest features, like everything you can see in ARKit 2, which is like the new version of ARKit and a new version of ARCore. And basically, it looks like React components that you can put inside your app, and they stand for nodes in 3D space, essentially. And every node can get some positioning in this 3D space. So you can position them, rotate, use particle effects, use physics, and basically do whatever you need to do for your AR app. So it doesn't have any sort of like 3D editor, as for example, some web VR solutions have, like A-Frame. But the main use of VR media is for embedding AR inside your existing app, whether it's React Native or if you want to embed React Native app with AR inside the regular app. So that's on the React Native side. On the website, we have Web AR APIs, which is available in all latest browsers, and you can use for like any AR experiences. But I must say, specifically for mobile, ARKit and ARCore are much more powerful because image recognition and recognition of depth and physical environment is really superior than head on web. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think it's interesting that you mentioned that that React Vero is built using components, whereas a lot of the other solutions that are traditionally out there are done using UIs, like using Unity or using something like that, or even Amazon Sumerian, I know, is kind of in that same space. For me, like when I'm a big fan of Vero React, like you mentioned before. And I think the big thing for me when I first started using it was trying to understand the concept of how to lay items out in 3D space versus what I'm used to as a web developer, a mobile developer laying things out in 2D space. Can you talk a little bit about like some of the concepts that people should kind of learn when they're first getting started with some of this stuff, I guess?
Yeah, sure. You kind of brought up my favorite topic. So so the thing is, like when we think about AR apps or VR apps, we need to think about UX in general, because UX it's really different than we are used to on web or mobile. Because even though we have perception of 3D space on web, it's still not an actual 3D space. When you work with AR or when you work with VR, you basically need to lay out things in 3D space all around you. It's not only that, you need to bring users' attention to these elements. So there was one really great talk. I actually don't remember which one, so probably I will find later on and I'll send you a link so you put on the recording. So it talked about in general about user experience in virtual or augmented reality, and it brought up the idea of time, of how we as users perceive time. So let's say if we think about ancient Greeks, and I know I got like a little bit far from AR, but if you think about ancient Greeks perceived time as Chronos time and Katos time. And they basically said that Chronos time is the natural time we are living in. And Kratos time is a time you experience, like emotions that you experience in this time. And basically, when you develop for augmented reality or for virtual reality, you need to understand that you eventually want to get user inside this Kratos time. You need to get him engaged with this 3D content. But because it surrounds it, and basically, you try to create this like sort of different reality for him. That's why it's called augmented or virtual realities. And there are several techniques that we need to be aware of. We need to bring user attention to some elements that may be behind the user. So we may create like traces of lights or particle effects or interactions that lead user to let's say look behind him and stuff like that. So it can be done from like a simple arrow pointing to the right or to the left, like look here. And probably you've seen this kind of experience in various virtual reality or augmented reality apps. But instead of that, you can do, let's say, if you have a character user interacts with and the character just looks behind the user back, you like eventually will look back. Because if somebody looks behind your back, you will do the same. You will do this movement. So there's one concept we need to understand. And the other one is basically layouting things in 3D, meaning depth has a meaning. Putting things around user has a meaning. Z-axis is not just like shadows where used on the web. It's an actual Z-axis. And if you put something really far from the user, you probably won't see it or see it distorted. This sort of way. Also, we need to understand like how things are layouted on the physical surface. So we need to be aware of lights, physics, and basically these concepts, they come from 3D modeling and 3D art in general. So lots of like techniques as texturing, rendering, shadows, they come from 3D modeling, OpenGL, but they're much more simpler with this frameworks lately, because creating a 3D model, creating a texture, it's much, much simpler than it used to be.
You mentioned stuff like Vero, right?
Yeah.
I've also seen stuff like 3JS. Is that a good way to build AR and VR stuff using React Native?
Well, 3JS is amazing. It's actually used by A-Frame, which is one of the biggest AR and VR platforms for the web. So for the web, I would say it's the best way to build with 3JS and or build with frameworks on top of that. For React Native, basically, you need native capabilities to render things. So with 3JS, you will have, it's like rendering a web view. You want the power of the device. So that's, and the Vero has its native renderer, which is based on the ARKit and the ARCore, and everything runs natively on the device. You just write these primitives like Vero node or Vero text or Vero 3D object, supply materials, and it's rendered natively on the device. So that's why it's a better one.
Awesome. That's good to know. So 3JS is sort of like using a web view the same way you'd use Ionic or PhoneGap, for example. So when it comes to placing something in a space and then turning around, right, and turning back and seeing that item stick there, can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, sure. So ARKit in general and ARCore, what it does, it basically, it looks like you have a camera, like you open a camera, you scan physical environment. And ARKit and ARCore understand physical features in the environment, like planes, if it's a floor, if it's a table, if it's a horizontal or vertical plane, and some specific special points around in your environment. And it's mostly based on light contrast. So if you're in dark environment, you probably won't be able to scan surfaces. So when environment is when lights are pretty good, like the actual lights in the environment, you can scan the surfaces, and then you basically can anchor things to physical space. So under the hood, what it means, these special points, these anchors, are attached to these physical surfaces, and when you turn around, an object stays on this anchor. So when you turn back, it will still be there. But if, let's say, you turn around and then you turn the light off and you turn it on and you turn back, then probably an object will jump from one place to another, because an application is trying to understand physical environment once again. So that's basically how it works under the hood. So there is much more math on that, like how all these image recognitions, because like AR also has image markers and image recognitions built in. And recent features also have really cool stuff as object recognition, which is pretty amazing. It has it's there in ARKit too. So you can recognize not only an image, but an actual 3D object. So whether you approach this object and look at it from any direction, it will be recognized as a marker, and you can render any 3D model on top of this object. So, yeah, I hope it answered your question.
Yeah, that was a really good explanation. Thank you. When you say object recognition, do you mean this is a chair, this is an iPhone, you know, this is, or like, this is a Sony branded TV? How far does that object recognition go?
So I was actually like pretty amazed how far they went with this. Basically, it's a really, really new feature of ARKit 2. And like for Vero, it's like the newest one. It was released, I think, 2 weeks ago. I've done these like demos for that on betas for quite a while. But like right now, it's out there in iOS 12. When iOS 12 was released, a week later than Vero released their support. Basically, how it works, you have specific app from Apple, or you can just write this app yourself. You go around this object and you scan it. So these same special features I talked about while recognizing surfaces, Now you can do this on the object. So let's say if you have a can of Coca-Cola and you go around this can and scan this object. It's saved with AR object extension. And basically it's like a 3D model, but without the mesh. So it has special features and like specific differences in contrast. So later on, when you use this AR object extension and this AR object marker, you'll be able to recognize that this is a Coke can. If you, for example, have put another like Pepsi or like any other soda or something like that looks similar but doesn't have specific features, it won't recognize it as this object. So it's pretty amazing how precise this recognition is.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So do you know how, so when I like think of like a can of Coke or whatever, I like in the way that I'm used to thinking, it'll like flatten it down, right? Like it'll like, you'll take a photo or several photos of this Coke can or even a video. And the way that in my mind it saves is it flattens the Coke can, right? But I'm assuming that I'm way off for how that works. And it's totally okay if you don't know this. Do you know how they save these models? Do you know how they store them in like a database or file or whatever?
Yeah, it's a AR object extension file. And basically, when you go around this 3D object and scan it, you see it's basically just like for indicating these special points, but you will see like tiny yellow dots on this object. And basically these yellow dots are special points and basically coordinates in the physical space. So I would assume, like, I don't know the intricates of it, but I assume it stores the differences between these special points in this file. And then when you can, and in addition to that, it stores, probably it stores, like, I'm not sure like how it works under the hood. I just know like how it works in terms of, for example, if you scan an object and you render something on this object, you will get the center of coordinates, but you will also be able to get the special point that was recognized on this object. So let's say if an object is curved and you have like, let's say, I don't know, like 10 points along this curve and they were recognized, they will be returned to you as recognized special points. And like the whole picture in general will be, okay, I recognize this object. Now I give you a callback to do whatever you want when this object was recognized. Yeah, I hope this answers it.
Yeah, I think that explains it pretty well. So basically you have like a set of objects that you can detect. And then if one of them is detected, there's a function that gets triggered, gets called, and you can do something in that function.
Yeah, that's right. And like with Vero, you specifically have this marker component, both for images and both for 3D objects. And basically you will be able to, like, it's React, right? So everything you put inside this marker component will be rendered only when this marker is recognized, whether it's image or if it's an object or something. Actually, you have like one example of that. So if you go to like blog.veromedia.com, well, like on the main page, you will have an example of my business card with this like image recognition, stuff like that. So that's an additional feature. Actually, they added continuous image tracking, which is available. It's not like Vero added something unique. It's like it's supported by ARKit or ARCore. And the idea is not only to recognize image, but also to track things with the image. So if you heard about Vuforia, augmented reality framework, it pretty much works the same way as with Vuforia, like visually, but it uses like the native renderer on the device and stuff like that.
Going to one of the previous questions, now that we can probably sort of cut that at some point, I wanted to ask about those anchor points that you mentioned. So we talked about sort of, for example, attaching paintings on walls and doing stuff like that. I'm thinking about building a sort of a model where, let's say I'm building a AR app where I want to fill in the whole room with water, or maybe I have a dinosaur that's, you know, walking around the room, and I wanted to be aware of where the walls are, for example. So how would I go about building that? Like, is there any way to sort of make myself and the code I'm writing aware of, I don't know, the box I'm inside, and make sure that, you know, it's just more than one flat surface that I'm looking at, just to make it aware that, for example, when I'm putting water into the room, it will, you know, sort of stick to all the walls around me?
Yeah, so it's possible to do. It's like, it will require one UX step for the user, because to recognize all these surfaces, you need to scan the room, basically. So if you open an app and just point in the room, at the room, you basically, you are not aware of like physical world, right? So in order to be aware of like every detail in the room, you need to spend time going and like scanning things. So if I draw parallels with like existing, with other technologies, AR technology, there is a headset called Microsoft HoloLens, and they basically, it's like a headset that gives you this AR experience, like holograms in the real world. And there you have indication of scanning all these walls and scanning all these environments. And it also takes time there. So the same you can do with the phone. So you have horizontal surfaces, you have vertical surfaces. So you will be able to know about the like all the walls and tables and whatever you have in the room. But you need to spend time going and scanning all those. That's why most of AR apps are based around the fact, like, let's scan a surface, let's put something on this surface, and then it's a game, or if it's an app, or like anything. Specifically for water, I would say you don't need to do that, because water, you can create sort of like particle effects that will look like water and fill everything with this particle effect. That's specifically for water. But in general, for let's say a dinosaur that will be, let's say a dinosaur that comes out of the wall and like stroll around the room and goes inside the opposite wall, that probably will require, but not probably, for sure will require pretty heavy scanning of environment.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about that, but I would say like getting up and running with working with Vero was really, really nice and easy for someone that had never done anything like this before. I think within about 45 minutes of being, you know, in their documentation and downloading all that stuff, I was able to like get something going on my phone and actually be able to change and update stuff and kind of really understand in general like what was going on.
Yeah, so with Vero, one important thing, like and in general with AR, so you need to have an AR capable device to be able to test this, because it won't work in simulator. So you have to test on the physical device, but Vero has their own, they call it test bed app, and basically this app gives you, like, installation of Vero is pretty simple. You install a CLI tool, and then you bootstrap your project with this CLI tool. Then when you run this project, it opens up ngRok server and gives you an ngRok URL of your app. You will be able to put this URL inside the testbed app and basically run it without like any dependencies. So basically, pretty much the same experience as with Expo. So you don't have to install a bunch of things, but it has its eject option. So you can run setup ID SH script, and then it will set up. It will ask you whether you want to set up ID for whether it's Xcode or it's Android Studio, and then it will download a bunch of dependencies, install pods, and stuff like that. So setting things up, it's really fast, and it needs a capable device, but you can run it without like heavy lifting of downloading a bunch of stuff and stuff like that.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
So in terms of where all this is going, what are some of the features coming out in the next year or two for somebody who is already very into AR and VR that you're particularly excited about? What's like the cutting and bleeding edge in all this?
I think currently the bleeding edge is multi-user AR experience, when you will be able to have like several users share the same physical environment. But like looking at the next years in VR and AR in general, so I have a feeling there is something coming from Apple in terms of like some AR goggles or something like that. I'm not sure if it's if my feeling is right, but like if you look at job board of Apple, you will see a bunch of open positions for some visual engineers or graphic designers, stuff like that. For it looks like it's something is going to happen there. Another thing that's going to happen with AR, so there is Magic Leap that came out. What Magic Leap, what fascinates me about the not the actual device, but the technology they use. So there is a concept called light field technology. So basically right now in AR, if you render any AR model, it's not occluded by your physical world. So let's say if you have model, 3D model on your real world table and you put, let's say, like any 3D object, like a box or something, you put in front of this model will still be seen because it's basically a digital overlay. Even though it understands the physical world, it understands where it's supposed to be positioned, but it's not occluded by the physical world object. So Magic Leap claimed, I haven't seen the device, like I haven't played with the device yet, but they claim that they solved this with light field technology. And the idea is basically physical world can occlude 3D objects that make them much more real. Because like right now you can see shadows of the object. You can create objects with shadows, put them inside the physical world. But if you want to like put things behind, like monitors, walls, whatever, then you cannot do this with current state of AR. So with Magic Leap, you probably can. I hope it will go inside other platforms other than, even though Magic Leap patented the technology, I hope it will come to other platforms. And specifically, I really hope it will come to mobile too at some point. This is for AR, and with virtual reality, the one thing that fascinates me in terms of where it goes, there will be like Oculus Quest has been announced like lately, which is like standalone VR headset. It's supposed to be really cool. Well, other developments in this field is what's called forward. I think it's called forward rendering. So the idea is currently in any VR headset, we don't have resolution even close to what our eyes see. And we cannot possibly do this kind of resolution with technology we have today in terms of lenses, processing power, and in general, we're just not there yet. But if you think about our vision, how we see things, the center of our vision is the one that is in focus, and our peripheral vision is sort of like out of focus. So by enabling eye tracking inside either virtual reality or augmented reality headset device, well, basically it's supposed to be a headset. By enabling this in headset, we will be able to render more high quality things in front of the user inside its like regular vision, and in peripheral vision, we can omit details, render like with less textures, maybe like less resolution, stuff like that. So there are lots of things going there. Also, haptic feedbacks are really coming to market. Lots of things happening there, like really amazing suits that you can feel literally anything happening in virtual reality, even like cold and warmth. Imagine that, like you're in virtual reality and there is like rain going on and you feel every drop of rain, you feel a little chilly there. So it can come to pretty disturbing experiences. We cannot differentiate our reality and virtual reality or augmented reality, but that's where it goes.
It sounds like Ready Player One, if you've ever read that book or seen the movie. That sounds cool. I didn't know they actually had stuff like that.
Actually, lots of things in Ready Player One already exist. Like the suit that he had in Ready Player One is already there. So this suit can, like, you have haptic feedbacks and both you can feel warmth and cold. The treadmill, like omnidirectional treadmill he uses is, I think it's on Kickstarter. There is a project like that with this specific look as in the movie. The glasses are still not there. Like the headset was like a way ahead, but all the other peripherals are already there. So I would say we will be in that, like in the same tech capabilities maybe in the next several years.
So for someone that wants to get started with Vera or with AR and VR in general, I guess, with React Native, what do you suggest them to go ahead and look at, and where can they get started?
Yeah, so it depends, like, whether you want to focus on mobile, whether you want to focus on web. So if you want to focus on web, you can check out React 360. You can check out A-Frame. The difference between the two of them is more like React 360 I would use for rendering like UI-driven application. Let's say if you have, you need to create an app for retail, for retail showcase products, and you have a huge gallery in virtual reality and you want to present things around, that then I would probably use React 360. If you have like more with physics, particles, stuff like that, probably use A-Frame or even Unity if it comes to like really heavy, you know, like physics computations, and like visually it will be like more of a game than an app. Mostly because the fact in with Unity, you can see stuff you're doing. Like you have this editor, so it helps you a lot. That's for web. For mobile, I would go definitely check out Vero Media website with a bunch of tutorials there. Check their blog. I'll actually this week, I will post a blog on these recent features with ARKit 2, like continuous image tracking and object recognition. So we'll be there too. I would definitely check how lights work in 3D environment in general. And so in Vero, you have all these guides there, but I would check like more understanding how shaders work. Maybe not the actual shader language, but understanding how light models are different. Like there are several algorithms for rendering lights differently. So I'll check that. So it depends on direction you want to go. So for example, if you want to check Unity, I would go to Unity Learn, and it's actually one of my picks too. So they have like a bunch of courses there. For Vero, I will check their docs, web, tons of materials on React 360. And I think even there is a course on Egghead on React 360. Yeah, so that's the question is which direction you want to go. Either it's web, either it's mobile, or maybe it's just you want to create VR apps for like standalone pieces or headsets in the future.
Well, okay, we're going to wrap it up in just a second. But when you say web, what do you really mean? Are you saying that you want it to develop on the web and then ship to some of these other devices? Or are you actually, like, I think there needs to be like some type of discussion around like where you do you actually deploy these things?
Yeah,
so you may be saying web technologies or something.
Yeah, so what I meant is basically you have these VR headsets. With VR headsets, you have limited amount of VR browsers that support VR. Chrome, for example, doesn't support VR. Firefox supports it. So when you develop for web, meaning like you have websites with embedded virtual reality or augmented reality inside of them, like let's say you have a game inside a website, or you have like showcase of some virtual reality space, or some AR features. So that's what I mean by like web technologies. For mobile, I mean more for like using React Native and using Vero. And I think AR is really, it's much easier to grasp there. And it's much more useful there because you can embed it inside. Let's say IKEA, for example, has AR features for showcase its product. So it makes sense to put AR there. Putting AR on the web, it's more like a gimmicky thing because it will still use your camera. So you will still see yourself in front of a computer with a bunch of AR stuff around, right? So it's not that useful. But virtual reality, for example, you can use this VR headset. And for developing for headset, meaning just not using web technologies, not using mobile, just like writing stuff in Unity and deploying to, let's say if it's on PC, it's an .exe file and it runs on Windows and like just regular VR game or VR experience or something like that.
Gotcha. So that makes more sense. And basically, to do any type of AR, you have to have a camera-enabled phone or device. So that's kind of a given, I guess. Basically mobile web.
No, actually, you can do on regular web too. Because like if you go into mobile space, then probably better to use React Native. But you can do progressive web app with Wave AR inside. But again, it will be not that performant because it will use 3.js and it will be like a web view inside. And it won't be that performant. So Web VR is useful for the web, for AR. There are some uses for that, but I don't see it as much useful as WebVR, for example. Does it make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think I learned a lot today, and mm-hmm. I think it's really cool that we have all these different options now with React Native, all the different things that we can do, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that that will kind of bring us now to go ahead and wrap it up and get to our picks. Vladimir, I guess I'll start with you. Do you have any picks today?
Yeah, I have a bunch of those. So one of the really hardest thing I see people have when they deal with AR or VR in general is basically getting all these 3D models to play well in AR or VR. So in 3D modeling, there is concept of rigging and animating things. Lots of 3D models you can download, they are without any rig they are not animated. So there is a website called, it's called Mixamo. It's mixamo.com. It's pretty amazing. It's Adobe product and it's basically free if you have Adobe account. The idea is you have any 3D model, you can upload this model on this website and you have a huge library of animations. It's mostly for like skeletal animations, for like humanoid creatures, but you have like lots of animations there. You can basically auto rig your character. You can choose any animation you want, download this character, and you will be able to use it in your VR or AR apps. So it doesn't matter which technology you use, either it's Vero or it's Unity or like whatever, or if it's A-frame or anything. So this is one pick. Another pick, and it's really, I'm really fascinated. I told you at the beginning, I'm really fascinated about the Reason, my own Reason community in general. So there is a Revolt project, which was a fork of BS React Native, bindings for React Native, and it was merged to BS React Native. Lots of stuff going on there. Writing Reason with React Native was like when I started doing that, it was super cool. And I guess Mike will elaborate more on that because it was his effort to do all the Colstock effort to do Revolt and BS React Native contributions or stuff like that. So this is my second pick, BS React Native. The third one is a really cool tool for creating textures or for your 3D models. It's called Substance Painter. And this is the fourth pick. Obviously, it's viromedia.com site and blog at viromedia.com. And yeah, I have probably too much picks. But the last one is really great book. I read it actually like I think more than half a year ago, but it really helped me both in game development, in regular day-to-day development. It's really great book. It's called Game Programming Patterns. And you can go to gameprogrammingpatterns.com and have a bunch of links where you can buy it as EPUB or iBooks or download Amazon. Yeah, this wraps up my picks for today.
Nice. You made up for the lack of picks that I'm not going to have today. Mike, do you have any picks?
Yeah, I was not in a similar position to you. Just wanted to relate to what you, Vlad, said about BS React Native. Thank you, obviously, for bringing it up. It was like all community effort. I was just the person that, you know, tweeted about it, but it's been many people, you know, contributing to it over time. So I think you pretty much said everything that I wanted as well. As you said, we are working hard on BS React Native and ReasonML in general. And there are some exciting updates coming up. So, yeah, I mean, ReasonML Town is a great podcast if you would like to learn more about ReasonML. And that's probably the last time I'm bringing it up as my pick. And I should start doing more React Native-related picks for the next podcast. So I'll try to get more prepared with the content you might be actually interested, like maybe flow types or TypeScript as well?
Well, we do have React Conf coming up soon, so I'm pretty sure we're going to be having a lot of ammunition for the next few months after that conference. I see a lot of hype. A lot of it's going to be around React, I'm sure, but that's always really exciting for React Native when cool stuff happens in React. So,
yeah, I actually did submit free Lightning Talk proposals. So I'm also looking forward to it. By the way, Nader, you coming or not?
You know, unfortunately, I'm going to be at another event that I obligated to like months ago because, you know, React Conf was kind of announced a little late. I'm already going to be speaking at another conference the same week, so I'm not going to be there. I hate that I'm missing it. I missed all the good React conferences except for React Native EU this year.
Of course.
Like Chain React, I was there, but I did not make it to React Rally or React Conf. So next year for sure. Peter, do you have any picks?
By the time this episode is released, we will have released a tool called the DraftBit List Builder, which is an interactive GUI educational tool to help you build lists in React Native. The entire code base will be open source. It's all written in Reason. And the cool thing is you've got a bunch of examples, like pre-configured examples that you set up, whether it's like Facebook or Netflix or a photo grid, or basically any type of list you've seen in a popular app constructed in React Native. And as you change these, it generates new code for you, and you can see a live preview of what that list looks like on your device. So we are hoping to release it in the next couple of days, but I know this won't be released in the next couple of days. So by the time everyone hears it, it should be out. We are really excited about it because we're prepping our launch for the DraftBit Builder. And it's just something that we were particularly excited about, just launching on its own and just open sourcing and seeing where the community takes it.
Oh, that sounds nice. Where can people learn more about that? What's the website? Do you guys have any social media or anything?
Not yet. You can follow us at twitter.com/draftbit or visit draftbit.com. This tool will most likely live under list-builder.draftbit.com. But if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see the link up there soon.
Awesome. My pick is going to be the Oculus Go. I got one for work last week. It was like $200, so it was like pretty cheap. And it's the first virtual reality I've ever had. And it was actually like not that expensive compared to what I was thinking I was going to pay. And it's really cool, actually. It was like $199, and you can go ahead and start like doing really cool stuff. I know it's probably not as good as like maybe some of the more expensive ones, I guess. The thing is, I don't really know a lot about this stuff. I'm just now getting into it, but I'm going to be building some AR demos because now AWS Amplify added Amazon Sumerian support. So I'm doing some stuff now, not only with Vera, but also with Sumerian. So I'm able to test it out now on my Go headset. So if you're looking to get like a headset for any of this VR and AR stuff, the Oculus Go was only $199, and that was like everything shipped to my house. So definitely check that out. And I guess my last pick is we had Gabrielle Peel from, you know, formerly of Airbnb on our show a few weeks ago, and that episode just came out today. So when you listen to this, it'll have been out for a few weeks. It's really interesting and insightful. If you're interested in hearing like a firsthand kind of the discussion around the transition from Airbnb going from React Native back to 100% native, check out that episode. And that wraps up this episode of React Native Radio. Thanks for listening, and we'll see everyone next week.